Vayikra, there's a in Parashas Vayikra, the Torah discusses the idea of karbonos. There's a famous machlokes rishonim between the Rambam and Maor Nevuchim and the Ramban about what exactly is the reason, the logic behind karbonos. The Rambam writes in Maor Nevuchim a rather controversial statement that the reason why we bring karbonos is to offshoot the other nations, since the other nations around us used to worship these animals, they viewed them as gods. So the way we counteract that is by taking their animals, what they call gods, and we kill them, we slaughter them, we offer them on the Mizbech. So the Maor Nevuchim's opinion is that the reason why we bring Karbonos is to counteract the Avodah Zarah. That's the famous Rambam of Maor Nevuchim. The Ramban in Perek Tes and Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes, in the beginning of Ayikra, takes big issue with this, and one of his kashas are, it can't be true, because they were bringing Karbonos before then. This was not the first time we brought Karbonos. After all these nations, Adam Arishan brought, and Cain and Hevel brought, there were no other people in the world. Well, that couldn't have been the reason. So the Ramban has a very beautiful piece where he explains that the idea of Karbonos is basically what we're saying is whatever is happening to this animal should really be happening to us. We really have to, so to say, up our game. We need to improve our behavior because we really deserve to be on that altar. We deserve to be the one getting cut open, so to say. And this is supposed to remind us, be ma'ayur us, that we are the ones who need to be improved, and we're using the animal as a means to represent us, so to say, but be'etzem, we are the ones who need to have improvement, and it's supposed to be a chesed. And later, Achrayim explained, that's why there's a lot of emphasis on the idea of karbonos. There's a lot of emphasis about the importance of karbonos, because it's really a tshuva process. It's supposed to cause us to think about what we did wrong, the averi that we did, what we need to be mechazik, and therefore, that's why it creates a kapara. Rashi in Chumash says that on the pasuk of Reach Nicheach, which many mefarshim point out, we don't find that by other mitzvahs. You don't find that when you shake lulav, Hashem says reach nichayach, that's a sweet smell for Hashem. Why only by karbon? So Rashi says very few words. Rashi says because you did what I asked you. Asisi ritzoini. So you see, kenira from Rashi, that Rashi understood differently than the Ramban and the Rambam. Rashi understood the idea of karbonos was you're following God's will. Although it sounds strange, maybe to take an animal and to slaughter it, sprinkle blood, the whole activity sounds really weird. Nonetheless, the idea is, says Rashi, Asisi, you did what I told you to do. And that was the godless of Kabbalists, according to Rashi Shita. Many people talk about why there's a small aleph in the word Vayikra. So the Kliyokah brings Ibshah, which is quite ironic. The Kliyokah brings Ibshah, it's a small aleph because it's supposed to represent the children. Children are supposed to learn, the first thing they should learn is Sefer Vayikra, because they are Tahirim. And we want those people that are Tahar to be involved in the Tahara process, which is Karbonos. Ironically enough, most kids skip Sefer Vayikra and never get to it. Right. But so writes the Kliyokah. There's a very powerful Medrash in the beginning of last week's Parsha. The Medrash reads like this. Says the Medrash, Vayikra el Moshe v'idaber al Hashem. Says the Medrash, V'kan omu kol tamad chochem she'en boi das. Any tamad chochem that has no common sense, nevela toive hemenu. A dead animal is better than him. Very strong wording from the Medrash. And the Medrash goes on to say, how do you know this? Teidel chabin yuraya. Shkeinu tzeil mad ma'isha avi achachma avi anavim. Learn from Ma'isha Rabbeinu. Ma'isha Rabbeinu was the greatest person. He took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and he had all these miracles, and this and that. And what says the Medrash? He did not go lefnai and lefnim at shekar eloi, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him, and that's the beginning of Vayikra. Vayikra, Hashem calls Ma'isha, Ma'isha says, okay, here, Hashem, I'm ready. So what's the Medrash telling us? So Baron Kotler, Mishnah Sabaron, has a very, very powerful piece where he really, really talks about this Medrash. He says, what does it mean, kol tamu chacham she'en ba das? What does it mean, kol tamu chacham she'en ba das? Any person that has no das, right? You have to be a tamu chacham. So Baron writes, if a person is a tamu chacham, he's a learned fellow, not only is he acting incorrectly, it's a huge chil Hashem. When a person is knowledgeable and he's a learned fellow, and he has no common sense, he has no derech eretz, which is more than just common sense, he has no sensitivity to other people, says the Baron, he's worse than a dead nevela. Why? So if you look in the Perushim of it, they say a Nevela can't control its death. They can't control how. Nevela means it was killed, you can't control it. Says the Eitz Yosef, but you can control being a fool. You can control, or being an insensitive person. So says Reb Aaron, anytime a Talmud Chacham is insensitive, he's not following Derech Eretz, says it's Taka Chil Hashem. It's worse than just saying, he's a big learned fellow, but, no, there's no but, says Reb Aaron. If you're a learned fellow, and you don't have Derech Eretz, you have nothing. The Eretz Kol Motari says, Rabban, it's not just you have to have it. It's without it, you have zero. Nothing. Says Rabban, that's what we learn from this Medrash. The significance and importance of having Derech Eretz. Being sensitive to other people's needs. I just read Mamrish this week a story from Rav Moshe. They quote, Rav Moshe was once supposed to speak at a Shal Shudas. And Rav Moshe wasn't up to it. So they asked someone to fill in. The person they asked to fill in spoke in English. So Rav Moshe sat and listened to the Shir like it was, every word and focusing. And they turned to Rav Moshe afterwards. They said, Rebbe, did you really follow the whole speech? He said, no, not really. Maybe I followed a little bit of it. So he says, why were you listening so carefully? He said, because the halach is that you have to have derech eretz. And if I don't have derech eretz, I can't pass kinshailas. I can't do my job. I can't be Rosh Hashiva. I can't say shir. I can't pass kinshailas. Because kol tam chacham she'im by derech eretz. So Ramesh said, decency is if someone's speaking for me on my behalf, I should listen. Even though I have no clue what he's saying, could be Ramesh didn't even agree with what he was saying. But Ramesh felt that he has to listen like this was the most important thing he ever heard in his life. Because Ramesh said, if not, I can't do my job. I'm possible to do my job of being a Rosh Hashiva and a Meir Hara. So that's Mamash Reb Aaron was bringing out in this piece, a very powerful piece from Reb Aaron. We really discussed the idea of Derech Eretz, how important it is. And I know, you know, he used to tell the kids in school, right? I think it was either Reb Gift or Moshe used to say, Ben Azman, all the kids come home from yeshiva now. Right? So all the yeshiva kids come home, they daven in their shuls, Mincha Ma'ariv. And usually what happens between Mincha Ma'ariv, the rabbi gets up and gets some form of halacha shit. So every yeshiva guy leaves. Because yeah. He knows better, right? He learned in yeshiva. I can tell you, they learn in yeshiva, they don't know anything about halacha. Okay? I'll tell you that much. I teach halacha in yeshivas, I can tell you. But in any case, that's the next. So Moshe used to tell Talmidim, it was a gift of Moshe, I remember, he used to tell boys, don't walk out when the rabbi speaks. You know, it's such a bazillion. You belittle everything, you know. You're the yeshiva guys, you represent Torah. What do you do when the rabbi speaks? You walk out. So what do you want the people to think of their rabbi? Yeah, you guys are the big yeshiva guys, and you're talking about a rabbi's no good to hear for 5 minutes? So this is the same idea. The Torah is very important, but if it doesn't carry a derech eretz, it doesn't carry a menschlichkeit, as we say. And Reb Aaron goes on to explain the famous word from Chaim Vital, that derech eretz is not in the Torah. Why isn't it described in the Torah? Why are there no midas in the Torah? Because you're supposed to learn from the Torah how to have midas. That's what the Torah teaches you. And if you don't have that, then you have no shaykhis to Torah. So it's not just the Tanai. It's important. It is what we are. And that was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, points out Reb Aaron. That was the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was such a sensitive person. Can you imagine if we would have been Moshe Rabbeinu? We would have been having front row box seats into the Mishkan. Let alone wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to call us. We'd be like, hey, this is ours. We did this. I did it with all these Jews. You know, it's not easy. We would have felt almost that we own the Mishkan. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu waited until HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually called him. And then he said, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm ready to come. So we find, says Reb Aaron, the significance and the importance of Derech Eretz. Very, very important midah in becoming a Talmid Chacham. But it's more than that. It's without that, you're nothing. You don't have the milas of godless unless you have Derech Eretz. It's upcoming parasha, Shabbos HaGadol. So it's interesting why it got its name Shabbos HaGadol. So the Torah writes, the reason why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, and this is the way they teach us in third grade, that it's called Shabbos HaGadol because of the great miracle that happened. Because on Yud Nisan, which of the year we left Mitzrayim, happened to have been Shabbos, we tied the animals to the bedpost, and the Mitzrayim wanted to kill us, and they didn't do anything. So the Taz asks a very basic question. The Taz asks in Shulchan Aruch, why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? Nothing to do with Shabbos. It should be called Yud Nisan HaGadol. It happened on the 10th day of Nisan. The 10th day of Nisan happened to have been Shabbos. So I give the credit to Shabbos. What does it do with Shabbos? Call it Yud Nisan HaGadol, and on the 10th day of Nisan, we'll make a party. Why Shabbos? So the Taz says a pshat, because we didn't want to celebrate Yud Nisan. Because there was another miracle that happened in Yud Nisan. Yud Nisan was when Klai Yisrael went through the Yardin, the times of Yeshua. So we didn't want to overlap the Simchas, so we gave it two separate Yom Tov. So at the end of the Taz, he writes, I said this over to my father-in-law, the Bach, and he enjoyed it very much. Okay?
So why aren't we studying? Well, so,
Taka, why aren't we? Yeah. So Rav Moshe says, Shvaket, if there's two reasons why to celebrate your Nisan, even more so make your Nisan a Yant. That's Rav Moshe's kash. So, Rav Moshe has a piece in Darish Moshe, he has a piece where he explains that there's a connection between Shabbos HaGadol and Pesach. He explains that Shabbos is the realization that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Pesach was the realization that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And they're two separate ideas. He says, Parai had half of that. Parai acknowledged the fact that God created the world. That Parai was okay with that. But Parai felt that he made the world, but doesn't mean he's involved in the daily running of the world. There could be other people. And I give the mashal of a big company. Right? A person who runs a big company, is the CEO of the big company, he's not involved in every little nakuda. He hires people. And they do his dirty work. He doesn't know every single thing that's happening. He knows the big important things he's involved in. So, says Rav Moshe, Parai felt that Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world, no doubt. But he's not involved in the running. There's other beings, there's other powers. So I could kind of override that. So that was the lesson of Pesach. The lesson of Pesach is that Kadosh Baruch Hu's not only created the world, but he's involved in the running, in the pratiyus, in the daily living of our lives that Kadosh Baruch Hu's running. And that answers the kasha of the why Shabbos is connected, because there's two stages of Emunah. There's Shabbos, the realization of Briyas HaOlam, Hashem created the world, and there's Pesach, which is the realization that Hashem is running the world. That answers the kasha that why is the Aseret HaDibros open up with Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, who took you out of Mitzrayim. If I would have written the Aseret HaDibros, I would have started off Anoichi Hashem, who created the world. Why would you start with Yetzias Mitzrayim? So I once heard from my Rosh Hashiva, Bzalag Epstein, he explained the same idea. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim was the realization that not only does Hashem create the world, he's running the world actively. Because again, you can create something and not be involved in it. You know, you can have a big company and you have no idea what's running under, you know, under the main levels. You don't know what's going on. You hire people to take care of it and you hope they're doing a good job. So it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, True. But he's not involved in my life. You think when I stub my toe, that's because Hashem decided I should stub my toe? That's because whatever it is, you know, whatever you want to call it. Says the Yisoid of Mitzrayim, it's just Mitzrayim told us that's not the case. Everything that happens in our lives, good, bad, and everything in between is completely controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the connection between Mitzrayim, Yitzchias Mitzrayim, and Shabbos. That's why we always repeat Yitzchias Mitzrayim in connection to Shabbos.
That's that big philosophical question.
That's right.
Like this. Is Hashem literally spinning the world
that's
every
right.
second, or did you just get one big spin?
That's right.
Letting it
Yeah. That's a loaded question.
Yeah,
a lot to think about. There's a beautiful pshat from Rabbi Yaakov Emden that the connection between Shabbos and HaGadol and Pesach is because the reason why the Nes came about was because it was Shabbos. He quotes a Medrash that the Jewish people kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim. So when the Mitzrayim saw them taking animals, tying knots, they said, hey guys, what's going on over here? You guys are religious. You're not supposed to be tying knots, you're not supposed to be taking animals. That's what motivated the Mitzrayim to realize something was up. So therefore it's directly connected to Shabbos, that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. It's the last pshat why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, because it's a really long Shabbos. They bring this down, I'm a legit answer. Because it's a long Shabbos, because the rabbi used to give a Shabbos HaGadol to Joshua before they went home for shul, before they went home to eat the meal. Can you imagine that? Right? The rabbi used to give it before they went home to eat. So by the time he left shul, it was taka a long day. Shabbos HaGadol was a long day. By the time you finished the rabbi's speech and you went home, it was a long day. The other pshat, Shabbos HaGadol means Godel because the Godel, the Rav, used to give a drasha. That's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. But it's something fascinating to think about. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that the Shabbos for Pesach we call Shabbos HaGadol. So people ask, what's the significance of that? Shulchan Aruch is a halacha sefer, telling us what to do. What do I need to know that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol? What halachic ramifications does that have? So I put it on a calendar, so when the shul sends out the email, it says on top of it, Shabbos HaGadol. What's the significance? So if you look in Yakut Yosef, Bavad Yosef's son, he writes that there's an Indian to greet each other, Agutin Shabbos HaGadol. Why? Because by referring to the Shabbos, you're creating a discussion. Hey, Shabbos HaGadol, let's talk about Shabbos HaGadol. Oh, the Nisan, let's talk about the miracles. It's supposed to be a catalyst to getting the conversation going about Shabbos HaGadol. It doesn't usually work, because everyone's like, yeah, I know Shabbos HaGadol. Well, let's fight about whether I was supposed to say the HaGadol or not, you know, something like that. Or where you're eating the meals, or how you're eating without getting, you know, crumbs on the floor. But in any case, it's an interesting thing to think about. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol. And you have to ask yourself, for what halachic significance is that being brought down? Unless you assume like these achrein, the itak is supposed to greet each other, you know, a good Shabbos HaGadol, and that's supposed to create a ribuy hanisim, and through that we're supposed to be married the nisim that took place on that Shabbos. Okay, so let's get back into where we left off over here last week. We left off last week, we were talking about the Mishnah. In the 8th parak, the Mishnah says, if a man goes over to a lady and gives her a piece of paper, and he tells her this is the phone bill, or if she finds it behind him, until he says to her, so the second half of the Mishnah we need to talk about, but we're not going to get to it this week. We'll have to talk about what's wrong when you give a get to a lady who's sleeping. Put the get in her hand, she's sleeping. Okay, good. So she's sleeping. She'll wake up and she'll read it. But it's mavur from the Mishnah, if you put the get in the hand of a lady who's sleeping, the get's no good. But let's talk about the
even
first part.
She wakes up.
Right, even when she wakes up. So let's talk about the first part of the Mishnah. We started this last week. We'll continue. The Mishnah says if you give a lady a get, and you tell her, listen, here's a bill. And she accepts the bill, she takes it, and she reads it, and she says, hey, it's not a bill, it's a divorce. So the Mishnah says, no good. Until you go back and tell her, oh, Taka, it's a get. So we started off last week discussing, why do you have to say anything? We know that Gerushin is one of those things, which we spoke a lot about, that worked about Karcha. You don't need her consent, you don't need her want or will. So if you don't need her want or will, why does she have to know? It doesn't matter what it is. You did a mice in the Sina, you gave the get, you're done, you're finished. Why does it matter what you tell her? So we saw last time Taisvis number 2. So Taisvis has a pshat where he says like this. He has a kasha from a gemara later on, that's mashma, that you don't have to say anything to the lady. If you tell two witnesses, you say, listen guys, I'm about to divorce my wife. Be ready for it. Then he turns to the lady and says, here's the bill. So the gemara says, that's a good get. So Taisvis asks, hey, one second, what happened to telling her what it is? So Taisvis says, v'yeshloimar, we'll start over here. So Taisvis, v'yeshloimar, t'hosam nami achar kach yagidu loho edim shehi migureshes. Says Taisi, you're right. Since you notify the witnesses will pass along the message to her. She'll get the message. Although you never told her directly, I'm divorcing you. But since you told the witnesses you're divorcing her, so after you give her the get, the witnesses will let her know, you know, they'll notify her nicely and calmly that she just got divorced.
You telling her I'm giving you the telephone bill?
Yeah. You tell her a telephone bill. You turn to the agent 2 minutes before and say, listen guys, this is going to be a get. You tell her, here's the phone bill. So says Taisus, how does that work? Says Taisus, because since you told the Edim, again, the wording of Taisus is very important because we'll see it's a big machlokes achrayim how to learn Taisus.
This means that the essence of the get is that she has to know she's
correct,
divorced,
exactly.
verbally, not
that's
by
right.
getting...
That's Tosfos' right, that's Tosfos' whole premise.
So when is she divorced? From the time of the seller or from the Mafreya when he gave it?
So the Avnei Miluim assumes it works for Mafreya. The Avnei Miluim writes that it would work for Mafreya. We'll talk about this a little bit more. What would happen in between? Let's say he tells the Eidim, 8 o'clock, I'm about to divorce my wife. He gives him and says, it's a bill. Okay, so right now we were holding. It's no good. What happens if 5 minutes later the Eidim die? They never tell her. Would that be good? So Pasha, you'd say not.
Because she lives with somebody in
between. She has no idea. No one told her. The fact that you told Eidim is no good. So we'll talk about that. We'll see, it's a very fundamental machlokes achronim. But if you look at the wording of Tosfos, Tosfos is interesting. He says, the Hasam Nami Acher Kach Yagidu Lo Eidim. Later they'll tell her. When later? During this maimed? During this procedure? Or later? A year from now, 2 years from now, a week from now? When does they have to tell it to her? You would have thought they have to tell it to her right now. If there's a din that she has to have this amira, it should take place at this procedure. You're going to tell me now that you're going to give the get at 8 o'clock and 2 months later, the Eidim will knock on the door and say, listen, we have some bad news. I just want to let you know you got divorced 2 years ago. So let's see why. So Taisha says, Afa Pido Isha Miskereshes Bal Karcha. Here's what Taisha asks Takasha. Why do you need any of this? The Isha Miskereshes Bal Karcha. Don't say anything. You don't need any Amira. So Taisha, Mikomokim Tzarech Loima La Hagitech. You still need to say Hagitech. Vahariat Mutas Lacholim. You got to tell her both these phrases. First of all, she has to know it's a get, and she has to know that a get allows her to marry anyone she wants. Why? Sheteida Shehi Miskereshes. She should know that she's divorced. Why? The Loi Tehei Chazeres. And she should not return. The Be'ina, we need Shehi Mishalcha Ve'ini Chazeres. It's a drasha, according to the Gemara in Yevamos, that there's a din that you're not allowed to divorce a shaita, a crazy woman who has no idea what divorce means. You can't divorce her. Because part of the divorce means Mishalcha, you send her away and she doesn't come back. Right? If she comes back, it's a breach in the get. If Salvechik has a piece in Shuri Arav where I went through it a couple of times, I just don't understand exactly what he means, we discuss what exactly is this psal of Mishalcha Ve'ini Chazeres. He talks about, is it a psal Gavra? Is it a psal in the Nesina? Again, exactly what it means, I'm not sure. But whatever the case may be, there's a din d'oraisa that if you give a get to a woman who does not comprehend what divorce means, you're not divorced. So therefore, says Taisa here also, when you give her, she has no idea what just happened. So as far as she's concerned, you're still married. So she's going to come home and make you a supper and come into your house, and you're going to wonder, why are you returning? You're not supposed to return. I shoo you away. So therefore, says Taisa, it's a breach in the din of Mishalcha Ve'ini Chazeres, and that's why it makes sense why it doesn't have to come from the husband. She can get it from the Eidim as well. It's not a din that the husband has to express to her that you're divorced. She has to be aware of the fact that she's divorced.
So why can't she get it from the get? She's going to open up the envelope.
That's what the Rambam holds, right? That was what we said last week from the Rambam. The Rambam held, mid-deraisa, the get does that. She'll read the text and then she'll read it. She'll read it and she'll see, okay. That last fight was the last fight, and she'll understand. But these Mishnayim hold that part of the din, and we'll need to talk more about this, is not only the actual get, but there's an amira, a declaration of what's said in the get needs to be expressed.
This
now,
language is in the get also, right?
Yes, this language is also found in the get. But according to Tosfos, this is the nekud that I want to talk a little bit about today. According to Tosfos, Pashtus is a din d'oraisa. Mishalcha v'ini chazeres is a pasuk. So therefore, according to Tosfos, a guy gives a get to his wife, and she has no idea what's going on. She's clueless. She doesn't know what this is. She thinks it's a bill. So according to Tosfos, it's not a get midaraisa. It's not a get midaraisa because she has no idea what's going on. Now, if you look at number 3, Rav Asher Weiss, Minchas Asher makes a very good ha'ara. He says there's seemingly 2 chedusha from this Tosfos. He says the first chedush is, ha'yefshu lo'yma d'lo yafina mi'yivomis el mu'ut e'misha mat teva chizeres. Says Rav Asher Weiss, let's go back to the Gemara. What's the source of this Mishalcha Ve'ini Chazeres? We're not talking about a woman who is unaware of the fact. We're talking about a woman who can't understand divorce. But teva, she lacks common sense. She has an illness where she can't understand divorce. Says Rabbi Shuvayz, that's what the pasuk is excluding. A lady who can't comprehend divorce, and no matter how many times you kick her out, she comes back. Such a lady can't get a divorce. But she can get married with Tasavia, maybe, with her father helping and other people.
Or it could have been that she got him.
Or whatever, it happened later. But says Rabbi Shuvayz, this girl, she has nothing wrong with her. She's a very, very intelligent girl. She understands what divorce is. She might even be a divorce lawyer, for all I know. But in this specific moment, she's not lacking, svara, she's lacking a bit of information. She's being misinformed. Being misinformed is not the same thing as not being able to comprehend. So points out Rabbi Shuvayz, Tosfos is taking a little bit of a leap over here. Tosfos is saying the same way a lady who can't understand a divorce, same thing as a woman who could technically understand it, but is just lacking that. I mean, if someone would just tap her on the shoulder and say, he's lying, it's a get, she'd get the message. But the point is that right now, b'matziv shah shehu sham, in the exact status that we're in, she has no idea not to come home. Even though, yes, you'll tap her on the shoulder and she'll get it, very good. But right now, with the information that's provided to her, she has no understanding of a divorce. So therefore, it's like a shayt. But Rav Asher Weiss is just pointing out, we mentioned this last week. I found this week that Rav Asher Weiss makes this ha'ara. I think it's a worthwhile ha'ara that you would have said maybe they're not the same thing. Maybe the drush of Mishach and Chedesh is a lady who can't comprehend a divorce. She has no idea what divorce means. This lady can understand it. She's just not she's not informed of what's going on. That's Chiddush number one, Rav Asher Weiss.
Because she hasn't opened up the...
Right, exactly. Or because you told her it's this and she thinks that's what it is.
Maybe she can't read. Maybe she can't read.
She's, you know,
probably smart. So
you're
talking
about somebody that doesn't have that problem.
Right, we're talking about... We would have called this in English a technical problem. It's a technical difficulty. She doesn't understand what's going on. But you wouldn't have said, oh, this is something intrinsically wrong with her ability to get divorced. Right, so, but that's... And it could be, this is why no other Rishonim say like Tosfos. Tosfos is mamish the minority opinion over here. All the other Rishonim, Rajba, Ritva, Rambam, you name them, all the other Rishonim come up with other pshat. No one besides for Tosfos goes with this pshat. It could be because of this ha'ara that we're mentioning right now. Could be Tosfos is taking a big jump in the p'tur of Mishalcha and Chazeres. Maybe it only includes those people who can't comprehend the divorce, not those people who are not understanding it because they're being misinformed. That's chiddush number one, he points out. Says Rav Asher Weiss, chiddush number two is... He says, "V'lulei dvar ma'inir l'chayu d'tzorich l'garish b'ayvishem atzmo loy teichazeres v'loy samchin al mashem estoma teidai de'edim." He also says, "What's this whole thing about finding out from the edim? You know, this whole idea that you tell me that she'omal le'edim l'shavi einichazeres, the edim take care of it. Who said it's good enough to come from the edim? You know, maybe it should come from the husband. That should be the husband's job to make her a mishalcha einichazeres." Why is it good enough that it comes from the Eidim? Maybe it has to come that to make sure she gets the idea. It's got to be heard from the husband. Hear from the husband. He says, listen, buddy, this is over. So she gets the message, this is over. Maybe coming from the Eidim is not sufficient. Okay, I think we could debate that. But
does it have to come from Eidim or can it come from anybody?
Oh, it could come from anyone who she trusts that's involved. Right. Now, if the rabbi tells her, listen, I'm telling you what just happened 5 minutes ago, that was a divorce.
What's the function of the Eidim to begin with?
They were just there to watch the Gittin. They were there, Al Sichas Gittin. You need to aid them. Depending on what but this is a Gerushin issue, nothing to do with the specific Amira. They were there just to verify it happened. That's Shita Tosfos.
The issue of not at the same time.
Yeah, oh, good. We're gonna get to that. That's something we need to talk about a lot. That's something that Rishonim address very klachayad, very not lefush, and it needs to be discussed a little bit more. Now, Tosfos is a chiddush, because according to Tosfos, we're not denying the fact that a lady gets divorced against her will. We're not denying the fact you don't need her consent. But we are acknowledging the fact that she always has to be aware of the get, not because she has any say in the divorce. She has to be aware of the get, because she has to understand not to return.
According to Tosfos, after he gave her this without telling her what's in it, he changed his mind and said, you know what, I really don't want to divorce her. Is that good?
So that's
when
way,
she sees that's the get.
So that's the route the other Rishonim take. The other Rishonim say, we have no idea what's running through this guy's head. This guy's such a confusing fellow. He tells the Edom one thing, tells her something else. He spent the time getting this get, spending the money. Well, what does this guy want to do? We have no idea what this guy wants to do. Does he want a divorce or not divorce? Or make her nuts? Is he embarrassed to say, this guy can't man up and say, listen, you know, it's over. I had a guy once tell me, his mom's living, his daughter dated a guy for like a long time. And he dumped her on a text message. The father was ready to go out and kill the guy. I said, you're right. He didn't man up to it. He was scared. He was embarrassed, whatever the word may be. So here also, this guy, he's embarrassed to tell his wife he's divorcing. He's scared she's going to smack him back. I don't know, whatever it is. So we don't know what's going through this guy's mind. So according to the other Rishonim, which we'll talk about, lahalacha also, it's not pashut because, is it a suffix? We pashut don't know? Maybe, what would happen if this woman would then go marry Cain? What do we say? Well, maybe she's a divorcee, maybe she's not a divorcee. We have to talk more about in those Rishonim.
Maybe that's what the that's the end of the story. Right. Once he says that, then
right now we know exactly what's going on. Now there's no room for debate. 100%. So I think there's some riots to Tosfos. Some even Tosfos l'shitasoi. Let's start with this. There's a Rashi in Kedushin that we learned together, where the Gemara is a whole discussion over there in Kedushin Avav, where you say all these like very funny wording to a lady. You say to her, you know, all these words that are not clear to regular people. That means I want to marry you. So Rashi says over there, the Gemara is saying, "B'mayaskinan." Bahanach lishni, number four is a grashi. Bahanach lishni de komi boilein, you have a kedushin eloi. All the cases that the Gemara has a suffix, whether or not these words imply marriage. Hey chidomi, what's the case? Ibish emedabi ima kaidam lechain, I was kedushaha. If they weren't talking about marriage beforehand, vechain bahanach lishni de gerishin. Similarly, with those questionable languages with regard to gerishin, shlohai bedabi ima was kegita, they weren't talking about getting divorced, and all of a sudden he says some funny language to her. So the Gemara says, "Minoyada kloimar afilu havi hanach lishna loshin kedushin." Even if these words would be considered halachically phrases referring to marriage, she doesn't know what he said to her. So Rashi in Kedushin is clearly discussing the idea of understanding the wording. Yet Rashi in the previous Divrei Maaseh threw in Gittin. So Frek to Ritva and Kedushin, why get? She doesn't have to know anything by get. Let her think it's a million other things, but it doesn't matter, because get's Bal Karcha. So how could Rashi, Frek to Ritva is a Kasha, how could Rashi write that by Gerushin? She has to know what he said. He doesn't have to know anything. She stands there like a piece of like Karka. You dump the paper in her hands and move on.
Yeah, but the ability of the husband to divorce Bal Karcha does not preclude the requirement that she understand what's happening.
That's the debate.
Which is different than
but that's the debate.
Consent to Kedusha.
Very good. That's the debate. Now, without this Taisvis that we just started off with, I would have made the argument that why do you need her to be aware? What's it worth to be aware of something that you have no control over?
Right.
So, Taisvis, I'll tell you why it's important. Because she has to get the message across. She has to understand not to come home. But without this Taisvis, one would have said, why is it any different? If I have no consent in it, why do I have to be aware of it? So I'll bring you around in a second that you're right, there is such a concept. So the Ritva asks, what's Pshat and Rashi? So says the Birchas Avram, Pashit, that this is a riot to Tosfos and Gittin. Rashi holds like our Tosfos. Our Tosfos holds that Ein Achanami divorces Bal Karcha, you don't need her consent, you don't need her will, you don't even need her kinyan, but she has to know what's going on. Why? Because if not... What?
Why give it to her? Maybe I should write the bill of divorce and put it from my right pocket into my left pocket.
Yeah, we talked about such stuff.
Why that I give it to her?
What
does she have to do with it? She's not a party to the divorce.
I think she is a party.
Why would the Torah require it? Obviously, she has to know. She has to be made aware of what's going on.
But that's learned from a different drasha. According to Tosfos, it's really a derivative of a separate drasha that part of Gerusha means to be sent out, the Shalcha. Send her out and don't come back. That's part of the idea of a divorce. So says the Birkas Avraham, very Gishma. This Rashi holds like our Tosfos. That Ein Achanami, I don't need her consent, I don't need her agreement, I don't need her want, but I need her knowledge. Why? Because she has to know not to come back. So Chayrut Mefurish and other Rishayin in this Yisrael of Tosfos.
But I thought it was just that there was no connection anymore. The fact that she comes back, even if she's aware of the situation, she chooses to come back.
That's not good.
I'm saying she comes back against your will.
Right. She's allowed to come back, but she has to be aware of the fact that she's in this situation. She has to be aware of the fact that she's a divorced woman.
It's a
din of Mishalchav, right? We have this drasha that she has to be sent out and not return. Now, what do you mean? We're going to put up security guards, she's not allowed to come back? So the answer is she has to have the idea, the whereabouts, that she's not supposed to return. Now, if she returns, does she possibly get? No. She's allowed to come picketing. What?
And she would know that.
Right, but she knows that she's divorced, and she knows she's not supposed to come back, and she says, I'm doing it anyways. This lady has no idea that she's not supposed to come home tonight. In her mind, she's supposed to come home tonight for supper. And that's a breach in Gerushin. Why? That's a good question.
Are we just assuming that she's not reading it yet, or can't?
Right, assuming she's not reading it. Or until she reads it, we have that lack, we have that downtime, so to say.
So
she charts the bill, she puts it in the rest of the bills in the garbage, right? And she never reads it. Now, that's what we spoke about last week. If you say nothing, it might be not as bad, according to some Rishonim. Now, according to Tosfos, it might be the same thing if you say nothing, because she still has that lack of knowledge. In other Rishonim, we'll talk more about in a few minutes, that it will make a difference. But according to Tosfos, unless you medabra ima first, and she gets some form of an inkling, it's meaningless. If you guys are having a great lunch, all of a sudden you give her an envelope, and she thinks that, you know, it's money to go buy your Pesach clothing, right? And all of a sudden it's a get, right? So she can't assume it's a get. So according to Tosfos, that would be not a get midday rice. In other Rishonim, we'll see, might be different. But I think there's a Tosfos L'shitase. There's a Tosfos Kedusha Naf Mem Dalet. Number 6. Tosfos Kedusha is talking about Maimer. Right? Maimer is when you go to a Yavama, who midaraisa, the only way to marry Yavama is actually by doing Bia. Yavama Yavi Aleha. And in the Chazal or Masakin, giving Kedusha to a Yavama. That's called Maimer. You do Maimer, you give her a Kesef, a Shtar, and you make some form of a Kedusha. So the Gemara makes a comment over there that Maimer works Bal Karcha, it works against the will because it's working as Yibam. And Yibam works against the will. So Tosfos has a kasha, Vim Toimer, Vim Kei Maiko, Amar Ketano, Ein Oysen Ba Maimer, El Midas Aviyo. If you want to do Maimer to a Ketano, you have to have the father's consent. Vaha Naira Midaita Umidas Aviyo. And if it's a Naira, she's a little older, then you need to have both consents, her and her father. For Tosfos, 1 second. V'iki Rebbe, if we're going like Rebbe, that Maimer is against her will, Loi Be'inu Loi Daita Loi Das Aviyo. You don't need anyone's consent. So if you don't need anyone's consent, why do you need to be notified? If I can do it against your will, so why do I have to tell you about it? That's Tosfos' kasha. So it says, you're right, there's a din, that even though I don't need your consent, but I'm notifying you that I'm doing it against your will. It's a madrega. I tell her tomorrow when she tells me we're doing this. Yeah, thank you for notifying me. You're not asking me. You're doing what you want anyways. But you're notifying me that I'm going to do what I want. So people do that sometimes. You tell your boss, listen, you know, I'm notifying you. I'm not asking you permission that I'm, you know, missing whatever it is. So that's Tyson saying over here. I'm notifying the lady. Listen, I'm letting you know I don't need your father's will, but I'm just notifying you. L'chayra, this Taisavis makes much more sense according to our Taisavis. It's not Stam Adin, I'm notifying you for the sake of notifying you. I'm notifying you because you have to be aware of what's going on so you don't come back. Right. Since it's a Kedushin. Taisavis in Gittin writes that just like Get has Adin, Mishalcha ve'eni chazeres, Kedushin has Adin that she has to come home. If you marry a woman and she doesn't understand that marriage means to come to your house, so it's also not good Kedushin. Just like if you divorce a woman and she comes back, it's no good. Taisavis says if you marry a woman and she doesn't understand that marriage means she's supposed to come home and say she goes back to her parents' house every single night. So Taisvis, it's also no good because of the heckish of Kedushin to Gevushin. Says Taisvis, so here also, you find an idea of Taisvis over here that even though I'm doing something against your will, you have to know what's going on. You have to be in the know. Why? Because to be Mekayim this din of Mishalcha v'Nechazev. So L'chayra, Taisvis is Meduik like this and Rashi is Meduik like this. There's a bunch of Mishayim that are Meduik. This is the side of Taisvis. Taisvis is talking about Kedushin over here.
By Mimer, it's only
right. Right, but together. It's based so on
it
the.
Could be that Tyson's just saying.
Could be.
But it also said you have to notify her. Yeah, that was a din of.
But again, but Pashtus.
Right, like a din of Bishilcha.
Yeah, but again, if you're assuming that the Takana de Rabbanon was let's copy the Deraisa, so then we give it. It's a tricky situation because Mimer itself is Yibum. Yibum B'Yisoyde is against the will. Kedushin B'Yisoyde is consensual. And now we're mixing the two. So you're arguing maybe this whole thing is only the Rabbanon. Yeah, maybe. That's a fair point. You're saying it's not muchach from Taisvis what he would hold by a regular deraisa case. Okay, well taken point.
Taisvis wanted to say that. He should say it in Taisvis.
By Kedusha.
Just like the Kedusha. Maybe. She has to know not to come home.
Yeah. Taisvis makes a jump. Taisvis makes this jump on Samach Dalet, but Taisvis says that if you hold that by Gerishin, there's a dimishach and chazesh, there's who had them by Kedusha. That's a jump that Taisus makes in Gittin Dav Samach Dal, which I think you could debate that also. Maybe Kedushin is different than Gerushin. Maybe not. Well taken.
It requires our consent, so okay.
So Yeshua didn't have to learn.
Sense to say the point by Kedushin.
But here's the million-dollar question in Taisus. How do you learn Taisus when Taisus says that the Edom will tell her? Does that mean the Edom actually tell her? Or does that mean that the Edom could potentially tell her? So if Salavichik writes, in Shuri Rav number 7, he writes, a Moridik Echidosh. He writes, "Uldivrehim nira, shahidas habal leedim shunasim laget mahani b'nichtes tazeh. Why? Mishum sheyecholes ho edim loidiela, because it's able. Shazeh get in Taisvis. Oise es anasin lasin leshashulach. Says of Salvechik, because you told someone what's going on, and you made it out there, you made it what we call public knowledge, so someone can get the message to her, although." No one actually did give the message to her, says of Salvechik. That's sufficient to be called a Mishalcha of Eine Chazeres. She'll get the idea, says of Salvechik.
So why does Taisus say La'achakach?
Right, because Taisus is learning, says of Salvechik, that that's what's probably going to happen. If the Edom saw, and then she's looking here like, what's going on, the Edom will tell her what's going on. But if Salvechik held in Taisus, and this is a very big chiddush, you don't actually have to tell it to her. Look, if you look in the footnote, number 42, he writes in Shirei Rav, Rabbeinu Hoysif, Salvechik added, "The sagi b'yecholes so edim loydi alam." They could, says Salvechik, "Liois nesina shel shiluach." The mere fact that this could be notified to her and she could know that she's divorced, although she doesn't, ain't sarich hoydas ha'isha bepoil. She doesn't actually have to know that she's divorced. And he adds a huge chiddush: "Ulechem heimugureshes afim oedim meisum miyad." Says Salvechik, the edim dropped it right then and there. Again, at the time, he told the Edom heard it. They were about to turn, and all of a sudden, boom. Right? Says of Salavechik, it's still good. Why? Because he understood Taisvis. Again, how you read this all into Taisvis is a little bit of a joke. I think I have a right to have Salavechik from a Teres Gittin in a second, but according to Salavechik, it comes out of Moritik and Chiddush and Taisvis. It's not that she actually has to know what's going on. It has to be that this get had the ability of letting her know.
Isn't what happened, but the case of Taisvis was that he gave her a get, but he told her it was something different.
That's right.
But before that, he told the Edom exactly what he really wanted.
That's
to
right.
To get.
Correct.
So what they're really saying is that it doesn't matter if she knows, right? It's that if she's confused, there's somebody there to clarify for her what the husband in fact meant. So the really thing is...
Well, that's not what Taisa says. That's what the rabbi is saying, but
they could clarify for her if she...
Right, but the problem is, it's not just about clarification. If it's like the other Rishonim that we're not sure what he wants, so then you can tell me the Edom are letting us know what he wants. According to Tosfos, the way Tosfos reads by us, it's not about the lack of yediyah. It's not about the confusion. It's that she has no idea, that this girl has no idea she's divorced.
It remains that way.
It's, exactly. It remains that way. Even once the Edom die, it's still going to be that way. Exactly. So how does that make sense in Tosfos?
Right. What stops her from going
there? Exactly, nothing. Clearly, if Soloveitchik understood Tosfos, and I think there's a right to it in a second, I think I can back it up, but he clearly understood Tosfos that the chesaron of Mishalchav and Chazeres is not the way we keep on talking about it. That's technically and practical. She has to know. It's that the way the get was given has to be in a way that it could lead to a realization that she's divorced. Even though it might not come out in a practical way, it has to be what's called to be, in theory, this get, and this makes a lot of sense if you inherit in the Nesina. When this get was given over, it was given with the ability for this woman to get the message across. It didn't happen because of technical problems. The husband, the Edom died. Okay. Salvation, again, to read that into Tosfos, I think it's debatable that was the lomdus of Tosfos. But what the chiddush from this piece is how he understood the chesaron of Mishalchav and Chazeres. Mishalchav and Chazeres is not just practically that she doesn't get the message, it's that it has to be that she's able to get the message, although she never did get the message, because no one ever told it to her. But since it was out there in the world,
what do you
that's sufficient.
As practical, what about when the woman is a shota? She could get it.
No, how? No?
Technical issue. In other words, there's all the things that are correct.
No. By a shota. By a
shota. She happens to be technically
no,
not.
No, I see. To me, I would look at a shota and say, no, this is an impossibility. No matter what you do, she can't get the message. Here, she could get the message. It's just that no one ever decided to give it to her. I'm not so sure. Yeah, that was the technical problem that the guy died.
Would you go so far as saying you give it a get and there's a fire nearby, it gets ripped?
Yeah, we'll see in a second. It's getting destroyed. Yeah. I'll get to that in a few seconds. Yeah. Again, I don't think we would have said this on our own when we read this Tosfos. That's not the way I understood Tosfos. But that's the way of salvation in Tosfos. Yeah. Where?
In the Mishnah. How more clear can you be? She wakes up and gets it.
In which case?
The case of the Mishnah.
Yeah, what's the problem? That's how you fix it. That's how you fix a get. If the get were to be given in such a way, the way you'd fix it is by saying again, Hagitech. That's how you fix if the get. That's right. I said, if we're bringing kids, I'm bringing my kids also next week. My wife would love it, okay? We wouldn't learn anything, but...
You have to have the mother here.
Okay, then the deal's off. Okay, very good. In any case, let's see the Torah's Gittin. The Torah's Gittin writes over here, on this Tosfos, he writes like this. Number 8. He quotes the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel says that from Tosfos it's mashma, the tzarech sheyemer hu, or yo edim b'shas nesina. When do you tell this lady, when did the edim tell the lady, oh, by the way, you just got divorced? At the time of the giving. Because if not, you'll have a technical problem of a break between the giving and the amira. What would happen if you give the get on Sunday and 3 weeks later he says to her, oh, by the way, what you got was really a get? We'd say that's no good.
Right.
Because it was an asina. Without an amira, they have to be connected. Says the Torah's Gittin.
You need to work on the problem again. What if she lived with somebody?
Right.
It could be a world of problems.
Correct. So the Beis Shmuel says you got to give it right away. Says the Torah's Gittin. I disagree. He writes like this. Very important piece. He writes, V'hinei b'taisvis loy nimtza b'loshin zeh. You don't find these words in Tosfos that it has to be right away. If anything, Tosfos is mashma achakach. Tosfos said you give it afterwards. What's afterwards? Whenever, later. So the Beis Gittin says he thinks from Tosfos not like the Beis Shmuel. He thinks you can give it even later. Now the question is, how can you give it later? We know that if there's a problem that every get needs to be in the scene from the man to the lady. That's the problem of tli gitech me'akar b'karak. Let's say the lady's sitting in the middle of the street. You throw her the get, and you say pick it up from the ground. And she picks it up, and it's a get. No good, because it's lacking a nesina. So if I make a bad nesina, and then I fix it later with an amira, how does that work? Why don't I have to make a new ma'is in nesina? So therefore, says the Torah's Gittin, I think, no. I think it's not a problem. Why? So he says, the efshid that hatois is like pligi klav. And he says an unbelievable chiddush, which I think is where salvation is coming from. He writes, tohodo edim yagidu l'achakach, pirush, dikishu'oma kein le'edim havigam kein me'ena chazeres. Even though Edom vada yagidu la'achakach, the milsa de Edom kol islam. Says the Torah's Gittin, when you say to the Edom, this is a divorce, it's not the pshat that they're going to go directly and speak into her ear. It's that the message will get to her, because we know that when things get said in front of Edom, word spreads. Then he writes, Rabbi Gil Chalish, avaloi shiyu mukhiyav ma'edim loy malakein. The Edom never have to say a word to her. What do you mean? How can that be? How can the Edom not say anything to her? If the whole purpose of the Edom here was to tell her, and they never tell her, how does it work? Then he writes, venerally, that feeling is carried had get koidim shenadallah. What would happen if the get got ripped up before she ever found out about it? Says that there is getting kosher. Why? Kiven do oimeid hoyel his barer b'shas nesina. Because it could have been explained to her.
And so
The Havikim Mishalechas Ve'ena Chazeres. That constitutes enough Mishalechas Ve'ena Chazeres. So this Torah is getting, it's clear, it's interesting that they don't point out this where salvation is coming from. It's tell them on the bottom, this is clear. This Torah is getting is a core right to salvation. That the definition of Mishalechas Ve'ena Chazeres and Taisavis is not practically knowing not to come back. It's the ability to know that. Even though you don't know it. And it'll be a situation where you'll never know it. Nonetheless, you would still be divorced. So this is a very big chiddush, and these achronim, clearly the Beis Shmuel, I don't think, went this far, but according to the Teres Gin, it comes out that you can learn Taisvis, that if the Edom were to die, let's say the Edom never tell her. They're just not interested in telling her. Our Salvation talked about an extreme case, the Edom died. Let's say the Edom is never interested. The process is over, they go their way, she goes her way, and that's it. According to Taisvis, the get would still be chal. At the time of the Nesina, there was no Amira. She has no idea what it was. That says the Teres Gin, I think our Salvation will say the same thing, is but it was able. Since you told somebody, someone knew about it. Let's say Bismarck said the guy ran on his Facebook page, I'm divorcing my wife. Then he gives it again and says, here, Kinsey Shtachoivze. What would happen?
He befriends her.
Right. Then he blocks her. Right? A whole situation, right? Yeah. What would happen then? Would that be enough to say that he expressed it to somebody? That's probably even better than telling the Edom, right? She'll read it there first, or we should get a tweet about it first, right? That she'll read. The Edom she won't listen to, right? Would that be good enough to make a divorce according to these Achrayim? The answer is yes. The mere fact that it's a possible for her to know about it, that's enough to make it a Mishalachim and a Chazar.
It sounds like she could go on forever not knowing she's divorced.
Correct. According to these Achrayim, it's a big Chiddush. Again, when we read Taisvis, that wasn't the way I would have read Taisvis, but I think it's Mochach in both these Achrayim that they understood that according to Taisvis, the fact that you're able to know. Now, it's more than here, you're not able to know because they are dead. And they might be the only ones who know. But since you were able to know for that small amount of time, you were able to know and be told that it's again, that's sufficient to be called the Mishalcha Ve'ene Chazars. A very big chiddush from Taisvis.
But if she comes back and he's still living for it, it's a riot that was never before.
Not necessarily. Not Mochach. He could have changed his mind at some point. We don't know what, you know.
It's a messy situation.
Yeah, not a good idea. Not
and, and if he didn't say anything to her, he just gave it to her, but he told the Edom, so there was no Amir at all to her?
Correct.
Would it still work?
According to Taisvis, that would be good.
Still work.
Yeah, according to Taisvis, and even more so the way the other Achronim learned Taisvis.
So that he appointed the Edom
to
tell her?
No, that's the Chiddush. That's where, when you read Taisvis, you look at Taisvis, says, the Hasan Nami Acher Kach Yagidu Lo Edom. Afterwards, the Edom will tell her. Does that mean the Edom will actually tell her? Or it just means we assume. Exactly. So that's where these Achrayim are coming from. So if Salvation will tell you, Taisvis just means that's probably what will happen, or that could happen. That's sufficient. Never does it say that the husband tells her, listen, guys, I'm embarrassed, so you tell her. No, Taisvis doesn't say that. Taisvis tells you don't need that. You don't need that someone actually tells her. You just need that she could find out.
Is this all because of the situation that he's trying to fool her and say something connected what it really is? Or even if he was silent?
Even if he was silent, according to Taisvis. There's a din according to Taisvis that she has to know that she got divorced. So we learn Taisvis that she actually has to know she got divorced. These Achrayim are learning Taisvis that she has to have the ability to know that she was divorced. And since someone in the world knows...
You can always ask the sofer.
But he's not going to know. I don't know if that's really going too early. That's why even the Facebook example might not be so good, because it could be he changed his mind. You have to know if he changes his mind. The Edom were the closest to the storyline. It was a minute and then they gave it. If I guess someone makes a post at 10 o'clock and then 2 days later gives a get, nope, he could have changed his mind.
So according to this, you don't even need that they were down with being non-Edom.
Chayr, right?
And that's because she could be Geresh's Baal Kocha.
Right, but I...
About Kedushin, if he doesn't, and nobody says anything, there's no Kedushin.
Chayr, right. 100%. That's why I think this Taisvis is a very big chiddush. I think it's a fair point that none of the other Rishonim learn like this Taisvis. It could be for numerous reasons. As we keep on digging deeper into this Taisvis, we're finding more and more layers of chiddushim. It could be for any one of those layers of chiddushim. But Lamaisa, Taisvis is the only one who goes with this route that the problem of Ishtar Choyv is because she doesn't get the message not to come home. That's all in Taisvis' Yishita. So let's talk about some of the other Rishonim over here.
She doesn't get the message that she could potentially get them.
That's right. So that's why you say it in a case where she could get the message, so if you just walk over and say, here's a bill, so how is she ever going to get the message? But if you say to Adam first, that's not sufficient. That's the chiddush over here. The chiddush is there has to be some form of yediyah on the reading of the get, without the reading of the get. She has to be aware somehow. You would have thought, why does she have to know? It's not like she has any, she has no skin in the game. That's the chiddush. She has to know not to come up. So let's look a little bit at some of the other Rishonim. Moshe, if you look in the Rashba, number 9, the Rashba says, why is it no good if you say to her it's a bill? So the Rashba, when the guy tells the lady, here, listen, here's a bill. So we say to ourselves, what's going on over here? I thought this was a get. You tell me now it's a bill? The answer is he's changing his mind. He's being mevatel the get. He's saying, this get that I wrote, kedashu kedin, and I plan on giving, and I'm being mevatel the get. I'm throwing the get out. I said, Tosfos, Ela Ratzel, says Rashi, Ela Ratzel, Sachik Bo. He's playing around with her. She's playing games with her. You know, he's saying it. It looks like again. It smells like again. He tells her, oh, here's a shtachayv. So the Rashba learns, and many Rishonim learn this way, that the intent of the husband is to be mevatel the get. He wants to take the get and say, I want it to be botel mevatel. So the problem with this pshat is that the Baal Amor has a kasha, as machloik is in the Gemara and Gittin, if you're mevatel a get, and then you want to bring that get back to life, do you have? Can you bring that same get back to life, or you have to write a new get? Machloik is b'yechon Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman. So frek the Baal Amor and the Rashba, one second. If we're thinking that the husband was mevatel the get, so then by saying haigitech, how do you fix it? Mishnah says, if he gives a kishtar choyv, and then he says, haigitech, it fixes the problem. What do you mean? If he was mevatel the get is bottle. If they get his bottle, you can't bring it back to life with magical words. You got to write a new get and start from scratch. That's the Baal Amor's kash on this Rashba, and that's where the Baal Amor argues. As we'll see in a few minutes, the Baal Amor is a different shot. If you look at the Tosfos Rashi number 11, he seems to answer this kasha. He writes, kinsei shtar choyv zeh eina get, mishum de betulei botle. Like the other Rishayim, he's mevatel the get. But kivan dolei oma le'edim tchila, since he didn't say to the Eidim first, hey, listen, this is a get, like the Gemara in Kitten, even though he was already mevatel, as Dr. Tais Rosh, this is not the same thing as if a guy would explicitly say, I'm being mevatel the get, which is machlokes of Nachman and Reb Sheshes in Kitten. He didn't explicitly be mevatel the get. Tais Rosh learns geshmak. Tais Rosh learns, we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure, and he walks in and tells her, here, shtar choyf, that means he's mevatel the get. We're not sure. So when he goes back later and says, haigitech, so it's not the pshat that he brought the get back to life. He showed us that the get was never dead. It's not the pshat that he was mevatel it and now he's bringing it back to life. We were unsure, was he mevatel it or wasn't he mevatel it? When it says Hagitech afterwards, he's being megala to us that it was never really mevatlet. So therefore, says the Tais Rosh, it's not a kasha. That's how he answers the Baal Amor's kasha. The Baal Amor's kasha was, if you mevatlet again, you can't bring it back to life with Hagitech. Says the Tais Rosh, you weren't mevatlet. We weren't sure if you were mevatlet. It was a suffix. Therefore, since it was a suffix, we don't know. When you're megala to us with Hagitech, now we know it's not a suffix. The Aruch HaShulchan Paskins Halach LaMaisa, according to these Rishayim that learn it's bottle Haget, because he's mevatlet, it's only a suffix get. So a suffix ain't a get. So we don't know for sure. We're misupik. Now, if you look in the Rashba, it doesn't sound like it's a suffix. It sounds like this is what he did. If you look at the Tais Rosh, that's clear. He's learning like this Aruch HaShulchan. He's understanding that we're not sure was he mevatlet or wasn't he mevatlet. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan passes Allah l'maisa, according to these Rishayim that learned this pshat in the Gemara, it's only a suffix. It's not a vade. Because we don't know for sure was he mevatlet or not. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the guy goes over to a lady and says, kinsei shtar chayv zeh. That's all he says. So Pashim Shah, you'd say in the Mishnah, it's not a good get. Says Aruch HaShulchan, no, it's a suffix ain't a get. We don't know if it's a get or not a good get. Meaning she can't marry a kohen, this lady. Because maybe it is a good get. What do you mean? The Mishnah says it's not a good get. But if you learn like these Rishayim, that the reason why it's not a good get is because maybe she was mevatel the get. Maybe he was mevatel the get. That's a suffix. So it's a suffix and a get, you have to be mach. That's the Aruch HaShulchan Pshat in these Rishayim. We mentioned last time, there's a Baal Amor.
How long do we let that time?
That's going to last forever. That's going to last forever. Until he says Hagitech, according to the Tais Rosh. That's the Rashba's Pshat. This is the second Pshat in Rishayim. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that L'chayra is an afkemina because this psol is only psol derabon. According to everyone else, is a psol derais. If you skip down to the bottom, number 15, we spoke about last week, this Baal Amor. That the Baal Amor writes that why is it that you need to say, why can't you say kintzei shtar choyv? So he writes, v'yesh l'hoshev, nihi d'loy be'inan daito, you're right, you don't need a consent, avol be'inan sheyoytzi habal hashluchin bepiv. The husband has to express the words with his mouth. La'acha k'siva saget. Be'inyan, in a way, she is boinen hadover oyle edim oyle isha. She has to make some form of expression to somebody that he's divorcing his wife. Doesn't matter who, but he needs to say some words out of his mouth that this is what I want to do. So according
to the writing of the get,
so we said like the Rambam held that the writing of the get does the talking. The Baal Amor held that for somewhere somehow, we'll see. Maybe there's even a drasha to it. He understood there's a din. Pashas din the rice that you, the husband, have to express to somebody. It has to be to someone. It doesn't have to be to the lady. It could be to a third party. But you have to say to somebody, I want to divorce my wife. The question is, why do you have to do that? For what significance? If it happens without her consent, so why do you have to express to anyone?
And what we just learned about her having to know
Right, so he's clearly disagreeing with the premise of Taisus that she has to be according. She, right, it's oh. So it sounds like from this Ramban, it's all the Balamar. It's all about him. He's got
where he, even where he doesn't say Kansi Shtarachovza.
Yeah, it, well, that's a shayla. If he were to say it to the Edom first, so then he expressed it to somebody. Right. If he just goes over to her and says here Kansi Shtarachovza, so there was no expression of a divorce according to the Balamar. It's no good.
But yeah, but there you have a negative.
Oh, good. That's what the other Rishonim will tell you. It's not stam a stam shtik. It's a negative shtik. But according to the Baal Amor, it's not.
Amor, even if he didn't say anything, just was shaisik.
Correct. Right. Exactly. According to him, shtik is also no good because you have to make this din, this expression to somebody. So l'chayru, there's a very big nafkamina between this Baal Amor and Taisvis. According to Taisvis, right, someone's got to say it to her eventually. Or putting aside the salvation, it's Taisvis getting right. Assuming you learn Taisvis kipshute, someone's got to say something to her. According to the Baal Amor, she is totally in the dark over here. No one cares about her. He needs to say it to somebody, as opposed to Taisus, where someone needs to say it to her.
It's either din and him or it's din
that's
and
right,
her.
Right, that's right. It's either din and her or din and her. Now, we'll see that there might be a third way of learning. If we look very quickly in the Rambam at number 13. I want to wrap this up before Pesach. Let's see the Rambam. The Rambam writes at number 13 like this. Uminayin she'inoisno ela b'teres gerushin. How do you know that you can only give a get b'teres gerushin? Which literally would translate with the purpose of being a get. Dr. Rambam, Shanema Sefer Krisus, says in the Torah that it should be a paper of divorce. But Nosem Biyodo, put it in her hand. She Yitin Oisoi B'Torah Sefer Krisus. It should be given as a Sefer Krisus. Now, if we stop right here, this is a beautiful Rambam, except he made up his whole Joshua. Totally made up. That's a famous story. A guy was at a Purim Suda once, and he asked him, tell me a Stikl Torah Rambam. He told him the whole Stikl. He said, what was the Purim Torah? He said, because I made up the Rambam. I was the whole Stikl Torah. So the Rambam made up a Joshua over here. It's a beautiful Joshua. It's just made up. Where did he get it from? It says in the Torah, Sefer Krisos. Yeah, it says those words, Sefer Krisos v'nasim yodin. It says that in the Torah. It says, write a Sefer Krisos and put it in her hand. Zogdei Rambam, she'yitin oisoi b'toira Sefer Krisos. It's a din, you have to give it as a Sefer Krisos. So therefore, he writes to the Rambam, avalim nosim lo b'toira shu shtar choif. But if you give it to her as anything else besides for that, oi mezuzah, let's say afrum ha'cheshbin, you tell her it's a mezuzah. Mm-hmm. Tell her it's a school, tell her something, right? You give it to her, right? Oi she'nosna b'yodin he is she'no. Or says the Rambam, she's sleeping. So this is the first Rishon who puts the sleeping scenario as the same as the Shtar Choyv, which is for after Pesach we'll have to talk about. Zok the Rambam, Varehu biyodei ein a get. Now, ein a get means not a get midoy raisa. Zok the Rambam, why? But if you were to tell afterwards, oh, by the way, what you got was a get, Harei is a get. So the Rambam is a Chiddush Gadol. According to the Rambam, if I say it's a Shtar Choyv, the get possible midoy raisa. If I say nothing, then he gets pasul midrabban. That's what we spoke about last week. The Rambam sheet. The Rambam sheet is if you say stam, just shaysik, then he gets pasul midrabban. We spoke about why. Here the Rambam saying it's deraisa because it's from a pasuk. The pella on the Rambam is what pasuk is this? It doesn't say there's no drush like this in the Gemara. Where did he get this from? More so, I would have asked on the Rambam, where do you see anything from the pasuk about this lumdus that he's describing to us? The Rambam is describing a lumdus that the way gerushin works is you have to give a teres gerushin. Which to me sounds like that when you give the get, everyone has to be aware that this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. Now, who has to be aware? Does he have to be aware? Does she have to be aware? Who's this din talayin? Not clear from Taisus. In Rambam. In Taisus we know, in the Baal Amor we know. In the Rambam, yesh ladin. It's kenira machlokes achrayim. But I'm trying to read the words of the Rambam. It says in the Torah, Sefer Krisos v'nasim biyodo. Now, if I would read those words, I would say that the Torah is describing how to do divorce. You take a Sefer Krisos and you put it in her hands. That's how divorce works. That's the pasuk, the way of reading the pasuk. Pshutei shel mikra is, that's how it works.
Why would you need biyada if there was not some element of her knowing what was happening?
But where do you see from those words, Sefer Krisos v'nasam biyada? Yeah, that's true. That's how we learn where to put a get. That's how we learn where you put a get. But where do you
why
see...
Why do you have to put a get there? Why
that's what it, yeah, that's something we discussed many times. That's yeah, in Echanami, the Torah, it's strange. Befrat, if you assume not like the Tzais, if you assume that all get is about Nesina and not about Kenyan, yeah, the Torah could have said put the get on the lamppost and that also make a divorce. But the Venasa Miyada is just where I learn where to put the get. The Rambam is being medayik from the word Sefer Krisos Venasa. That the Nesina has to not just give her a Sefer Krisos, which is the Pasuk way of reading the Pasuk, instead of giving her the New York Times, you give her a Sefer Krisos. The Pasuk means Venas Sefer Krisos Venasa, that the Nesina has to be in a way that it's a Sefer Krisos. That's a Shtikl Torah. That's not the way you read the pasuk, right? When the Rebbe translates in the Cheder, Sefer Krisos v'nasam biyodo, that's not the way he translates it. That the Nesina has to be deherd as a Sefer Krisos. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam.
But the band of the Rambam is also difficult to say. How could it be resurrecting the... it's no good, it's no good, it's us and me doing right, right, right. And then he says it,
right.
And I raise again.
And if somebody fixes it.
That's only if it's a secret.
Right. Really according to Rambam, we have to figure out how does this all magically get fixed. Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam heard this is a psul deraisa. Which means you have to say that the Rambam read the psukim in the Torah. He read this like Pashup Shat. He read the Torah. Sefer Krisos V'Nosan B'Yodim means that the Sefer Krisos V'Nosan B'Yodim means it has to be clear that the Nosan, the Nesina, is as a Sefer Krisos. I don't think that's the way any of us would have read that pasuk in Parshas Kisei, but that's clearly how the Rambam read the pasuk. So according to the Rambam, this idea of giving the get with any other ideas going around is no good. Now, there's a Sefri that the Rashba quotes. There's a Sefri that the Rashba quotes. The Rashba writes number 10, Ube Sefri Tana, the Nosan B'Yodov Ishilcham Ibeso. He quotes a Sefri at least. Okay, no, a Sefri. That's Chashev. The Sefri says that from the words V'nosam b'yodai v'shilcha mibesai, from this pasuk we learn that if you divorce a lady through a shtachoiv, it's no good. Now, I don't have to understand the Sefri, but at least it's a Sefri. Now, the pel to me is that the Ramban learns that the Rambam is the same as the Sefri. Which answers one of our kashas. Our kashas was the Rambam made up a drasha. Says the Ramban, no, he didn't make up a drasha. He got it from a Sefri. So the Ramban, what? It's a pella to me. How the Ramban writes this? The Ramban writes it. The Chashulchan writes it. They all learned that the Rambam was coming off the Sefri. The Oini Gemtiv writes not like that, which I think is posh if you read the Rambam. I think the Rambam is telling us a very good shemak at the her. The Rambam is saying that when you read the Pesukim of the Torah, no drushes. The Rambam doesn't need a Sefri. The Rambam is reading Pshut Eshel Mikra. That when it says in the Torah, Sefer Krisos V'Nosam B'Yodah, you put a Sefer Krisos into her hand, it's not just describing the Tzura of the Get. It's describing how the Nesina looks. It looks like a Sefer Krisos. Not how the get looks, how the procedure looks. It looks like a Sefer Krisos. So the Rambam is not coming off of any drushes. He's reading Pshut Eshel Mikra. But Lamaisa, the Ramban, learns that this Rambam is the same as the Sefri, which would be interesting to say that the Rambam is coming off the Sefri. It also changes things because the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that if it's off the Sefri, it's only the Rabban. Because he says, even though Sefri is very chashiv, at the end of the day, Sefri becomes a Rabban. So if the Pshat and the Rambam is like the Sefri, then the Rambam is also only the Rabban. If you learn the Rambam like us, it's much more doing it down because the Rambam says ain't a get, which generally means ain't a get midaraisa. But if it's from a Sefri, why is it midaraisa? The answer is because it's not from the Sefri. We're learning the Rambam not like that. We're learning the Rambam that it's mamish push-ups and the pasuk, no fancy Torah. We asked, where did the Rambam get it from? The Rambam get it because he read the Torah. When you read the Torah, that's how it's mashm. So l'chayra, what comes out over here, that's the final pshat maybe in the sugya of what's the chsaron in shtar choyv. According to the Rambam, it's push-up pshat. It's the way the Nesina Saget has to have a look to it. And according to the Rambam, the look has to be that is a Sefer Krisos. What you could debate in the Rambam is who has to see it. Is it the husband or is it the wife? So Rabbi Zalman has a discussion of how to learn this Rambam. But again, I think we'll leave it from here. But exactly how to learn the Rambam is debatable. But
according to this Rambam, if he did it in the Sefer Krisos and he threw it in all those cases that we did through the weeks, that would be okay?
As long as someone knows, he expressed that.
But the Nesina itself, he puts it in our property.
That would be fine. Yeah. Okay. We'll see if after.